The case for argument is Vernier v. Morningstar. Mr. Feigenbaum.
May it please the court, my name is Mark Feigenbaum, attorney for Todd Vernier, plaintiff appellant. And this morning, I would like to focus on Mr. Vernier's termination from Morningstar, which was in retaliation for his claim of harassment, even though the events surrounding that harassment were carefully...
I thought he was fired for lying.
Well, what had happened is that they orchestrated a series of events which were kind of a scene to create this lying episode when I'd like to show that they asked him questions they already knew.
I don't understand you. If he told the truth, what makes you think they would have fired him?
Well, I believe that they came to him with and put him in a room with three other supervisors whom he'd never had in the same little room, and they already knew the answer to the question they were asking. They put the piece of paper in front of him, and his first initial reaction was, I don't know anything about this.
That's completely inconsistent with your theory that this sufficed as his complaint about fellow employee harassment. If he was trying somehow to complain about a potential instance of fellow employee harassment, the first words out of his mouth aren't going to be a denial. He's going to say, yeah, I was trying to take care of it privately, but maybe that didn't work, and I'm complaining. It can't be both. I mean, he can't just instantly deny it and then also have it serve as his complaint to them.
Understandably, but I believe also that if Morningstar were to have put the piece of paper and said, we know you sent this, why did you send it?
Or even, why did they have to say that? I mean, because Davis comes to them under the impression that he's the one who's being harassed. They might have thought that they were pursuing a completely different harassment investigation.
And that's the point also I'd like to make is that everybody all of a sudden assumed that Davis was being harassed, yet we have records of all the supervisors or the supervisors we interviewed that said that they also thought he looked oddly at people, he looked strangely at people, and then But and his eye condition was never recorded. Nobody knew of any eye condition until this trial. Everyone thought he looked strangely, and a message says, which Aldish said is stop staring. Nobody thought it could mean because of the way he looked at people. They all of a sudden thought it meant it was a harassment against him. And a reasonable jury could find that the...
Because it says the guys on the floor don't like it. He thinks it's an anti-gay message.
And it could just mean that the guys, meaning the fact that almost every person there was male, and there was just a colloquial term meaning guys. The guys don't appreciate it. Mr. Vernier also had talked with other employees who also felt uncomfortable with this, the way that... Christopher looked at people, and so it was known that he did this amongst the supervisors, amongst coworkers. So a statement, stop staring, the guys don't appreciate it, all of a sudden became a harassment when it could have just been read the plain meaning that Mr. Vernier wanted him to stop staring. And they got this message, they saw that Mr. Davis was upset by it, so they decided to orchestrate a way to terminate Mr. Vernier and not have to deal with the possible harassment by Mr. Davis.
But look at the fix that the company is in, because if they don't do anything to Vernier, then Davis is going to complain that the company is condoning Vernier's harassment of him, right?
Understandably, Judge Posner, but they also could have investigated
this. Put him on a razor's edge.
Yeah, and I believe they were in a tight position, and the easiest way was to get rid of Mr. Vernier. They said they were going to investigate the matter, and all the investigation entailed.
So that is easier, yeah.
And in fact, they created an environment where they did an investigation. The investigation entailed who sent the message. They found out the message.
Also, silly. Why is Vernier so concerned about this? It's childish.
Well, it was something that bothered him for over a year, and then the bathroom incident was basically the last straw where he was, staring at him in the washroom while he was using the washroom. And he thought, you know what, it is kind of silly. Let me deal with it. I don't want Mr. Davis to be embarrassed. I surely don't want him fired.
Assaulted by Davis? Or what is his anxiety?
He's made uncomfortable for a very long time by his staring.
Make people uncomfortable.
This pales in comparison to the kind of behaviors that have been found all in a day's work for heterosexual harassment. This is being stared at off and on for a year, and one glimpse in a restroom Nobody's pawing anybody. Nobody's...
And which is maybe why Mr. Bernier felt that this could be best dealt with just with the person who are both mature adults.
So, but we get back to the first point that Judge Posner made, which was if he really was making a complaint and he'd been trained in the company's proceedings, why lie? The company is going to not be favorably impressed by a lie.
And I think that he regrets making that decision, but I would like to add that minutes after he did that, he did want to recant and say, I want to explain what happened. He was told, the supervisors who wanted to hear why were told they couldn't speak to him, he had to go to the human resource, who conveniently wasn't there for the entire remaining hours before he was terminated. So he had no opportunity.
People are busy. I mean, you know, I can't really read too much into
well,
that.
Well, we're talking about 2 hours between
That's precisely my point. For 2 hours, I mean, any of us could be
well,
away
that,
from
if that
desk.
Were the case, then they should have not said that the supervisor were not allowed to speak with him, that he was only to speak with the person who was going to be busy for 2 hours. Because he went to each of the supervisors who he knew very well and said, I'd like to explain myself. And they said, we'd like to hear it, but we're not allowed to. And so, and in fact, even when he was terminated, he said, please, let's hear my side. And he was told, this is not the time or the place. Well, when would possibly be the time or place if they weren't ever interested in hearing why he sent the message?
Are these supervisors homosexual?
Not to my knowledge or on the record, Your Honor. And I don't think the sexuality was the case. I think this was, and why it also was turned into that, I'm not sure. This was a case where he wanted someone to stop a behavior that was irritating, uncomfortable, harassing to him, so he decided to deal with that. They had no interest in that.
The test is whether you know, whether the workplace is made unbearable by the conduct of your coworkers and so on. Is that a reasonable construal of this? I mean, there are plenty of annoying coworkers, right?
And in fact, he tolerated it for a year of having this, and so it wasn't. But at the point where the last straw, they said, then there was number of urinals that he chose the one next to him. He looked at him,
picked him out particularly as a target for.
I don't know that, although the other employees that we deposed said that they also felt that he was staring at them or looking at him. I think the comment was when he passed by someone in the hall, he would give them the ones up and down as they passed by.
How old is Bernier?
He is in his mid-30s. And so the reason I come back to the investigation is that the president of the business unit was interested in finding out why this was sent. They looked at this and they said there had to have been reason that somebody sent this. And the managers were interested in why it was sent, but the human resource person abruptly ended the meeting before it could be even discussed, went back to the president of the business unit and said, I found out what we needed to know. Let's fire him. I don't know the exact content of the conversation. They came back and said, you're terminated. He said, don't you want to know why I sent it? And they're like, no. And so this is, they're trying to really put their head in the sand of, I don't want to know anything that's going on. We got you on a lie. Let's go with that, and we don't have to investigate any further. In fact, there was no investigation until we filed the claim.
So why do you think they wanted to fire him?
Because it was easier than having to investigate and possibly having to deal with.
But he never filed a claim. I can't imagine how you can use that. Your argument was, well, they found out anyway, even though he didn't use any of the procedures to notify the employer as opposed to perhaps self-help against the harasser, alleged harasser, co-employee. But even though these training materials said you can also talk to the harasser if you want to, or words to that effect, didn't rule it out, the key with co-employee harassment claims is you've got to let the employer know. And I don't see how he ever in any way, quote-unquote, filed a claim when the only thing he says is a denial that he sent the email. And I further don't know quite how you can say that, you know, that there is some kind of notice to the employer, even in the way this unfolded.
I understand, believe there was no prior complaint filed, but the notice itself, the message that was on the computer, if that were investigated properly or if a jury were to determine that, one
reading
of it.
I don't see where anybody can see, stop staring, the guys on the floor don't like it, as the equivalent of a complaint, I am being harassed based on my sex. I just it's a big leap that I am having trouble making.
Or I believe that one could look at that and say, stop staring, to mean that Mr. Bernier felt he's being stared at and wished that
But there's all kinds of staring that doesn't have anything to do with prohibited forms of discrimination.
Understandably, but
that, so
those were questions never asked.
And so how does the company have any idea? I mean, I'm at the notice level. How do they know that this is the kind of complaint that should trigger their human resources department to gear up the investigation machinery?
Well, they did gear up the investigation machinery to find out who did it, and then the investigation machinery did stop there. That was the problem, is that's where the investigation machinery stopped. If they had just
rephrased... Because they didn't know it was a harassment claim.
But they never chose to find out either. You can't deny and say that...
Well, so if I sent an email to somebody and said, you know, stop staring, I'm tired of having you look at me, somebody's supposed to recognize that as a harassment claim?
Well, the person who's staring should recognize that as something that's making somebody uncomfortable.
It might not have anything to do with my sex. Maybe they might think I'm old or something. I mean,
and that's true. But the employer then looking at that would wonder, well, why did you send that? Stop staring. And then that should be the next question is, why did you send that? Is it because you're being harassed, or is you're just playing games on the computer? Like that. That's where I think that they really found an outlet to get rid of it without ever having to investigate it.
Did the supervisors know that Davis was homosexual?
It was speculated, but there was no definite proof until this claim.
Definite proof?
Well, the definite proof being that he admitted it at the time of the interview, at the deposition. The speculation was he...
In the trial.
I'm sorry?
In the trial, you mean? I mean, in this lawsuit.
Yes, that's what I meant, as part of the lawsuit.
But what's the evidence that his... that the supervisors knew he was homosexual and therefore would interpret the staring complaint as sexual harassment?
The only speculation that could possibly give rise to that is he brought a male friend to the Christmas party a number of years earlier.
Supervisors were there and saw
yes,
that.
Yes, Mr. Bernier was not there, but the supervisors were there, and I can't speak for them, but I suppose they thought because
that... Well, they deposed and asked, didn't you know that Davis was a homosexual and that the staring was harassing Bernier?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
At the deposition, and in the discovery phase, were the supervisors asked whether they knew or thought that Davis was homosexual? Because...
Yes, they were asked, and they said that they thought he was, but didn't know for certain.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Feigenbaum. Ms. Gaylord?
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court, my name is Amy Gaylord, and I represent the appellee Morningstar. We would request that this court uphold the summary judgment for the reasons set forth in our brief. And I'd like to take this morning to elaborate on what Your Honors have already hit on as the key to this case, which is the context in which this message came to Morningstar's attention. The message came to Morningstar's attention as a complaint of harassment by Davis, a homosexual employee. When Mr. Davis received the anonymous message, he knew because of this antiquated system that the message had been sent upon that whoever had sent the message had gone to great lengths to hide their identity and to send the message. He felt the message was harassing him on the basis of his homosexuality. So,
is that what he said to the Morningstar people when he went to complain about it?
That is what he said to his manager, Emily Hall, who is who he initially brought the message to. Ms. Hall and Mr. Davis then went together to HR and said that he felt he was being harassed. So, in fact, he did what he was supposed to, brought the message to both his supervisors and to HR's attention, and an investigation was conducted. Now, were it not for Mr. Davis properly bringing the message to Morningstar's attention, it probably never would have come to Morningstar's attention. And that context in and of itself, I believe, dooms Mr. Bernier's retaliation and sexual harassment claims. Turning to his claims for sexual harassment, as Your Honors have hit upon, there's simply no, this was not sexual harassment. Merely staring at somebody on occasion and standing next to them at a urinal don't rise to a level of sexual harassment. This kind of conduct is just too ambiguous to be interpreted as sexual. There are lots of ways that somebody could stare at somebody. They could be angry at them. They could stare at them because they don't like what they're wearing, or they could stare at them possibly for the reason, if Mr. Davis did stare at Mr. Bernier, because they had an eye condition. This type of conduct is just too ambiguous to be interpreted as sexual harassment. In addition, there's no basis for holding Morningstar liable for this alleged sexual harassment. Morningstar had both an anti-harassment policy and a complaint procedure in place and provided training to its employees. It's undisputed that Mr. Bernier received such training.
But you would agree, would you not, that the point in these co-employee cases is that there can be no employer liability until the employer knows about the problem, and it doesn't make too much difference how we prove that the employer knew. If the other facts had been different and, you know, maybe some other employee had gone to HR and said, boy, is Davis ever a problem, he's harassing everybody in his area or something. I mean, if the employer found out, it doesn't really matter how.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. However, I would say that the way in which it was brought to Morningstar's attention by Davis shaped the way the Morningstar employees, the supervisors who were investigating this, viewed the message. When the message came to their attention and Davis said, I feel this is harassment, they reasonably viewed it as a complaint of harassment by Davis, that he was the one complaining that he was being harassed. And that's the way they conducted the investigation.
So why did they forbid everyone from speaking with Mr. Bernier during the couple of hours between the initial meeting and the termination meeting?
I actually believe that mischaracterizes the evidence on the record. In fact, they instructed the supervisors, Dorsey and Kelly, not to speak with him alone, and to speak with him in the presence of human resources for the sake of preserving the investigation. And, you know, it's true Ms. Fitzgerald was in and out of her office or her cubicle, but, you know, she isn't required to sit at her desk all day waiting for Mr. Bernier to come and explain why he had lied. So there simply was no notice to Morningstar that would make them liable for this alleged sexual harassment.
If they allowed homosexuals to be harassed, that wouldn't subject Morningstar to any legal liability, would it?
Not under Title VII, Your Honor.
Is there any state law or city ordinance or something that would protect him?
I believe the Illinois Human Rights Act was amended to include sexual orientation, Your Honor.
Recently, yeah.
But in any event, the law doesn't prohibit Morningstar from taking...
No, I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, to prevent things that violate the policy, even if they're not actionable harassment. Now, again, you know, Mr. Bernier received this training, and when faced with what he believed was sexual harassment, instead of taking advantage of the policies and procedures that Morningstar had in place and reporting the harassment as he was instructed to do, he chose to take matters into his own hands and send this childish instant message to Mr. Davis rather than addressing it the way a professional person would do.
I'm kind of intrigued by this antiquated internal system. I'm having, you know, wangs in my head or something. I don't... He thought that, I mean, because it looks like Davis just printed it right out. He thought it wasn't possible to print out or forward from this system?
That's correct, Your Honor. It was a DOS-based system. It wasn't instant messenger like you would, like AOL Instant Messenger or Yahoo Instant Messenger. It was this kind of DOS-based system. It was very kind of antique.
So
nobody
it was still
used
in the machines,
it.
But you could somehow instruct the machine to reach back in time to
that's
know, correct. MS-DOS 1986 or something.
That's correct, Your Honor, and nobody really used this system. All of the instant messages sent on this machine, on this system, were in fact anonymous. There's no tagline saying the message is from so-and-so. So we knew if you used the message that Davis wouldn't know who the complaint came from or the message came from. And so understandably, Mr. Davis felt threatened by that because he didn't know who this message was from, and he felt that it was harassing him on the basis of his sexuality. Again, Mr. Bernier contends that Morningstar should have been on notice based on this vague, ambiguous message that doesn't clearly convey he was the victim of any sexual harassment. as this court has held time and time again, you don't have to use the magic words sex or gender discrimination, but you at least objectively have to give your employer the idea that you're the victim of sexual harassment. And this he didn't do.
Well, they could put two and two together, couldn't they? If they know he's homosexual and have the staring, the guys don't like the staring, wouldn't you put that? Pretty obvious, wouldn't it?
Again, I would point to the context in which Davis brought the message to Morningstar, and I think objectively, looking at it, that they could not...
Hard to imagine why someone would complain about being stared at unless it had some sexual overtones, don't you think?
I would disagree, Your Honor. He could have complained about staring if he was looking at him meanly or many different ways. That's the point. It's too speculative. It's too ambiguous.
I don't know why it's important to your case. I mean, presumably they can fire him for lying, regardless of whether they think he's complaining about harassment.
Well, they did, in fact, fire him for lying and for sending what they believed was an inappropriate message. And again, we would just ask this court to affirm summary judgment.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Gaylord. Mr. Feigenbaum, does he have any time left? You can have a minute if you have anything further you want to say.
I just wanted to reiterate the points in the court that the firing was for lying, which they claim is for lying, and that was designed, and they made him the pressure, and they gave him the pressure, and they gave him the opportunity they didn't give him the opportunity to correct his or back up his for two, even 2 minutes later his instant shock of seeing the message printed. He didn't believe it was printed or could be forwarded, and he did that for the consideration of Chris Davis. He wanted to just deal with it directly. He didn't want it to be a big issue. He didn't want him disciplined. He didn't want the Chris Davis fired. He just wanted him to stop staring. The message came minutes after the washroom incident, so he believed Chris would have realized he was dished in the washroom and got a message saying stop staring, and Chris was just staring a minute earlier, that would have been in the same context. He didn't send it days later. This was right after the incident. And so we believe that he did engage in the protected expression. He did suffer adverse employment action, and there was a link between the two, and so there was a definite retaliation that Morningstar did have an opportunity to investigate and just chose not to.
He didn't go about it in the proper way, right?
Correct. If things were different, both parties could have done this in a different way, but the end result is that Mr. Bernier doesn't have a job and there was no investigation.
They require you to go through procedures rather than sending anonymous notes to other employees. That's extremely unprofessional, to say the least.
Agreed, but that could have been the point, or it could have been our notice that the Morningstar could have investigated it further. Instead, they chose just to take the easy route out, fire him, and then don't have to deal with whether it's going to happen again.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Feigenbaum.